Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. And Jason, I think it's time. It's the time of year where we give the state of the Between Sundays show. I think it's, you know, we had the State of the State address.
Sure.
Earlier this week,
right.
We had the State of the Union address last night. And today, you get the state of Between Sundays.
Yeah, so for those of you that are listening today, we plan on spending the next probably 40 to 50 minutes just talking about how show's going.
Telling stories.
Right.
Talking about the wins.
Probably featuring.
Not talking about
folks.
Any of the losses.
Are there losses?
No. I mean,
okay.
There probably
Yeah,
probably
maybe.
Are.
That's
yeah.
All right. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
How are things with the Wood family?
They're good, man. We got up this morning. I told Gavin got his homework done last night. He very seldom has homework. Came in last night.
I thought you were going to say very seldom does his homework.
No.
Okay.
He's a good student.
Nice.
Very seldom has
Gavin.
Any homework. And so I got home last night and he looked at me and said, I've already got my homework done. I did it as soon as I got home from school. We're good. And he's got a science fair project coming up. And I knew there was a couple things that we had to do for the science fair project that were due today. But I didn't think it was that big of a thing.
Right.
Gavin didn't know.
Right.
But I knew. And I said, well, we'll worry about that stuff later. So we did this morning, and then I opened up the packet, and it was a lot of stuff. It was a lot of stuff, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh,
so,
dear.
But we got it done. He wasn't even late for school. So
man, oh, man.
It's been a day, but I stayed up really late last night watching the State of the Union. After the State of the Union, I had recorded the UT game, so then I watched the UT game.
Nice.
And then
it was
then
a
finally
good, it was a good night for your viewing then.
It was a very
you,
good night.
For you.
Very good night.
So today, we also are coming right on the heels of a really special night last night. Not only of the viewing things that
sure,
you watched,
yeah.
But also a really special night that we had with our 2-year anniversary, 2-year celebration.
Yeah.
At Shoreline of Celebrate Recovery.
What a
you
night,
were there.
Man. I was there. I haven't been to Shoreline in, I don't know, about 2 months.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, we've tried not to call you a pagan, but it's a bit of that.
But it was nice to be back. I've been speaking in a lot of churches. And so, yeah, what a night. That was, we came. Aaron's been mentoring someone there at Shoreline and so we wanted to be there last night, and man, just an amazing night of celebration and hearing the stories of what God is doing, not just in Shoreline, but across this city and in different churches and people's lives.
Yeah, and here in our second segment in a little bit, we're going to bring in a special guest, Henry Bieber, who is the one that leads our recovery and care ministry.
Justin Bieber's dad.
He's also Justin Bieber's
yeah.
father. That is not true. But he is spectacular all the same. And we're going to be talking a little bit about those issues related to hurts and habits and hangups and things that folks deal with when it comes to Celebrate Recovery. But before we dig into that, your thoughts on, the State of the Union last
night.
Yeah,
man. You know, again, as a political nerd, you know, we had the Super Bowl on Sunday.
With the emphasis on nerd.
Yeah, we had the Super Bowl on Sunday. For this political nerd, the State of the Union address is like, it hits all the feels, scratches all the itches. It is, and last night did not disappoint. I was joking off air that I was waiting for it, literally, and I wouldn't put this past the president.
Right.
I was waiting for an eagle to fly through the gallery.
Oh.
Like it had everything. It had story. It had American exceptionalism. It had hope. It had
controversy.
It had controversy. You know, Speaker Pelosi, they didn't shake hands at first. She ripped up his speech at the end.
So your impressions were, did Trump stiff her like he intentionally didn't stick out his hand?
Yeah.
Or was it more of a case of because he didn't shake
exactly.
Pence's
That's
hand
the
either.
Thing. To me, if he just shook Vice President Pence's hand, and not shaking Nancy Pelosi's hand, that would have meant something. But
right.
He didn't shake either of their hands.
No.
And so, I don't know, you know, would the president snub the Speaker
yes.
of the House? 100% he
yes.
would. And they did impeach him. I mean, you know, it's all petty. All of it's petty. So the reality is, as adults, he should have shook her hand. She shouldn't have ripped the speech.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so,
like,
so
it really is that simple.
Yeah. So if you've not seen it yet, yes, indeed, as President Trump passes it to Speaker of the House, Pelosi, Speaker of the House, Pelosi, she attempts to reach out, shake his hand. He turns around, she then makes the most awkward to bring, like,
it was really awkward because she put her hand out.
Yeah.
We've all had those moments.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then later though, at the end of the night, she then rips up. And why are we laughing? I don't know. It's become almost
it's political theater.
As my wife said last night, it really does continue to feel like, and this is truly like any of you who know my wife, I mean, this is a apolitical statement. This is as neutral as says it really does continue to feel like a scene from The Apprentice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, does feel that way.
And he probably has a few he would like to fire.
Right.
I think we've seen that.
Yes.
I will say there was a number of moments last night when he talked about the young mom and her daughter that was born at 21 weeks, less than a pound. And her daughter's now 2 years old. That was a special moment for a pro-lifer. That was a special moment. It should be for anybody. He talked about the young mom and her daughter that have tried to get a voucher to go to the school of their choice in Pennsylvania. And then he told her right there in front of everybody, a scholarship's been awarded to go to the school of your choice.
And then what about the mom with the two kids, whose husband has been, I think he's been in Afghanistan.
He had a reunion moment that makes everybody cry when you watch that on TV.
It did feel as if it was, you know, I mean, you hear these great stories of these amazing speech writers.
And so,
again, whether people agree with all things that President Trump is doing or not, and we don't agree with all things President Trump is doing.
I don't agree with all things you're doing.
That's correct. Yeah. And yet it doesn't feel like they only included a speechwriter in this. It literally feels like they're like, let's get it's almost as if they brought the person over who did the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We need some big moments here.
Well, he gave the, a medal to Rush Limbaugh. Like he had Melania put the medal.
Two days after he had cancer.
It was for those that aren't familiar with Rush Limbaugh, I mean, he started really anyone that has a talk radio job, conservative, liberal, or anywhere in between, can thank Rush Limbaugh. He kind of started that ball back in the 1980s. And so, to look up and go, thanks for being here. And, you're getting the highest honor any civilian can receive in the country. And Melania's going to put it on. I'm like, oh
what
my
is
goodness.
Happening?
This is the, and so the production, the speech, the moments, I would argue that the reuniting of the soldier and his wife with his two kids
was pretty special.
Maybe the best moment I've ever seen. Then there was a moment of a mom that lost her husband to war, and she's sitting there with her little boy who's 13, and she's trying everything to hold it together. She's got tears in her eyes. She's sobbing. And watching that little 13-year-old young man look at his mama and say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what? First off, that's maturity of a little boy. And, just everything. It was, he had a 100-year-old man that flew in planes.
Like I said, you didn't even necessarily have to have an opinion on policy in the thing. You just felt like it felt like an activity on the 4th of July is what it felt like.
I mean, why not do that once a month where we just share those stories?
Yeah.
And not get any political, not get into the politics, just say, look at what's happening around.
Wow.
I mean, it was for anyone that's politically inclined, if you agree with the president, this hit every place it could have hit.
Right.
If you disagree with the president, there are certainly going to be moments you disagreed with. But man, I think we've gone a long way from, presidents way, way back that were like, I'm not going to speak. I'm just going to send a letter. That's really all they're required to do.
Yeah.
To what we had last night, which was like a West Wing episode.
They tried to give sparklers out on the way in.
Yeah, it was something.
Continue on. So we're going to actually go ahead and bring in Henry Bieber. Henry is again, he is a critical part of our staff at Shoreline. He also leads all of our Celebrate Recovery Ministries. Henry Bieber. We've heard your voice chuckling here for a moment. Welcome aboard today.
Thanks. It's good to be aboard.
Man, we're glad to have you.
It's hard
afternoon.
Not to chuckle when you got people as funny as we are.
Well, exactly. Sure. Henry is, for those of you that don't know Henry, is one of the smiliest people on the planet.
He is.
And I love that about Henry. Henry, how did you feel about last night?
It was awesome.
Man.
It was really great. It was a great, just an atmosphere in the room where we just really felt the Spirit's presence.
Yeah. And, so 2 years, is it hard to believe? Does it feel like two millennials or is it millenniums?
Millennials? Well, there were times.
Millenniums?
It feels like two millennials.
Yeah, there were times when it was just like grunting along, grunting. And to see that many folks give testimony last night and then also to see that many cardboard testimonies, it's like, okay, Lord, you knew.
Yep.
You know, I was stupid again.
Yeah.
And you knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So for those that aren't familiar with Celebrate Recovery, give us a quick summary of what that is. So some people know what we have step programs in other avenues. For those that are here in Celebrate Recovery, explain to them what that is.
There's a lot of curriculums out there. You know, there's tons of ways to do recovery, but pretty much every one of them follows along some type of model that's to some degree derived from the 12 steps. I mean, the first three steps are basically I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. God can. I'm going to let him. You know, and so you have to get to that point of surrender. You have to get to the point of coming out of denial. And so it's a 12-step, it's a Christ-centered 12-step recovery ministry is what we call it.
We love it.
And, yeah, so it's been around, I guess, about 27, 28 years
now. How many
now.
Years have you been connected to Celebrate Recovery?
16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's been a part of my life for that long, and I was really reluctant to get into it because we had some discovery groups at our church already in this thing, this box that was the Celebrate Recovery starter kit.
Where was this again? Remind me, what church was this?
It's at Idlewild Baptist Church down in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sat on my desk for about a year. And my pastor had brought it to me, and he said, you know, I got this somewhere, and you might want to take a look at it and see if you like it.
Yeah.
And I knew it came out of Saddleback, and I'm not opposed to anything Saddleback, but it was like, we've got something good going here. Let's keep it going. But I went down to I took a group of my leaders down to a church in Fort Myers. And the people there were worshiping with exuberance. And I said, there's something different about these folks and about their worship. I mean, they knew what they'd been saved from. I mean, that's, there's something to get excited about when you know the depth of your depravity or you've tasted, seen a glimpse of the depth of your depravity. And that's the way they demonstrated themselves.
I love that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think that last night was amazing, and I think when we come back, let's kind of walk through the importance of sharing those stories and that testimony and the boldness that it took for some of those folks to get up and share a story with strangers, people they don't know.
Absolutely.
And to really be vulnerable, and we'll talk more about that when we come back.
It is you, Jesus, this is you.
So the conversation continues. Jesus, last night we had a pretty incredible night at Shoreline Church. And frankly, normally, Jason, we don't spend a lot of time, even though you're the pastor of Shoreline, I'm a partner of Shoreline, we don't spend a lot of time on Between Sundays kind of diving into what's going on there. But
But
I do think it's important that we talk about what happened last night at Celebrate Recovery, because correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, but everybody that's participating in that may not even go to Shoreline. They may
that's
go
correct.
To other places.
Yeah, right? We've got probably about, I'd say, maybe 50% of our folks are from Shoreline. And some of them have come to Shoreline after being a part. But it's really a good mix of people just in our community and from other churches. And the leaders that come, I don't require them to be a partner with Shoreline, but they have to be faithful in our program.
Love that.
And so we've got leaders that lead regularly that are you know, from different churches around town.
I was able last night, Henry was gracious enough, as you saw, to give me a few moments.
I thought you did good. I thought, you know, I was thinking.
Were you shocked that I actually stayed under 90 seconds?
Coming from a long-winded guy myself,
right.
Anytime somebody gives me a microphone, I'm like, look, I got a word. And there's a lot of words that I have.
Right now.
You did good, man.
I was going to do an invitation.
Yeah.
I felt like I was able just to do the welcome. But I really did share this. And the reason that we're focusing on CR today isn't so much so we can elevate just a program. And the reason that we've got Henry here isn't just so much to point you towards a program, but to really address the idea of hurts and habits and hangups. And, you know, we often talk about the things between Sunday that are cultural in nature, or things like State of the Union,
sure,
or, you know, an event that's happened in our society. But this is one of these things that unfortunately is really, really quiet. It's one of these things that we know is happening. We know that it's prevalent. We know how many people are hurting. We know how many people are battling addiction. We know how many people have these type of hangups. And yet, unfortunately, it's one of these things that is often very rarely spoken about. And I shared last night, you know, that we could read as many books as possible. We could go to conferences. We could talk till we're blue in the face about church growth and what things are going to bring revival to our cities and churches. And I really do believe at the heart of what Celebrate Recovery is, that's it. I really do believe what will bring revival to the church of America today is going to be that we will put down all this pretentious, a prideful facade that implies that we've got everything figured out, or that's certainly not vulnerable enough to speak about our own hardships. Because when we begin to speak about those things, when we break down that barrier and we begin to be honest and have some openness about it, then there's two things that can happen. One is that's where the Holy Spirit begins to be able to create healing and begins to work in our own lives, and we can actually experience freedom. And just as Henry was saying earlier, that first group of folks that he worshiped with at a Celebrate Recovery meeting, it's still the same way today, 20 years later. These folks worship differently because they have been rescued from something. Mm. We all recognize we've been rescued from eternity, or from an eternity apart from God as Christ followers. But they see it really tangibly. Mm-hmm. And so they're experiencing freedom. So I believe that freedom is something that will change the church. But I also believe that community, that idea of that we are in this together. That's why we, as you know, call what many churches call membership. That's why we call it partnership. It is this idea that I am investing into you. You are investing into me. We're tearing down some of these things that have often been put up among us. And that's where biblical community really begins to shine. And that's where the outside world says, wow, they really do love each other.
Yeah.
I'm going to know the love of God by the way that they love one another.
Yeah. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who hides his sin will not prosper.
Yeah.
But he who uncovers a thing and forsakes it will find mercy. And, you know, a lot of us don't think we're going to find mercy. We think we're going to find more judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've experienced a lot of times in this world.
Yeah.
But he said, if you forsake it, if you uncover it and forsake it, you'll find mercy. And so what I see Celebrate Recovery is a place where people can uncover things and say, this is what's true about my life. And they can experience mercy. They can experience the grace of God in their lives. And, you know, and I think that elicits worship. Once we acknowledge our sin and the goodness of God to do something about it, to cover it.
Yep.
Covering it means that there's something there to cover.
Right.
You know, so we've got to acknowledge it and confess it to realize that God's covering is there. Mm. And that just elicits, to me, I get goosebumps just talking about it, thinking about
that's
it.
That's actually just worship. Being in the room with us.
I'm sure that's it.
That's okay. That's neither here nor there. Yeah, Andrew, you guys see this. I mean, you see this with Hope, you know,
sure.
with the ministry that you're a part of. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see young women that come into the office that are allowing themselves to be identified or to find their identity, and thus shame coming in a decision they make or something that maybe they regret, as opposed to what Celebrate Recovery is trying to do, is to say, no, your identity is found not in a choice or a decision you've made, but your identity is found in this one that created you. You guys see it all
the time. Yeah, well, and what I love about last night was, and I spoke at a church on Sunday, and you know, a lot of times I'm in these churches speaking, and you kind of observe, you worship with them, but there's also, I mean, I think if we're honest, there's an observation, and we're just kind of observing how they worship, what they do, and those type things. And all I could think about Sunday at this one particular church was, and I actually said it. I got up on the stage, and the first thing I said was, I looked at the crowd and I said, y'all act like you actually believe this stuff. Mm. And because I'll be honest, there's some places I go where I wonder if they believe it, or are we going through the motions. What I saw last night, I wanted to get up and say, y'all actually look like you believe this stuff and act like you believe this stuff. Because when you truly allow yourself to get to that place, there's no hiding that. Like if you brought in an alien and just set them down in there, they may not understand all that's going on, but they're gonna look around and go, wow, you believe this to your core. And it was clear last night, after testimony after testimony, that man, what has happened in their lives. And I love that the vast majority, if not all of them, were like, look, I'm not on the other side of it. I'm still struggling. I'm still going through this process. But what I do know is in the middle of this, God has not left me.
Amen. Right. And last night, even, you know, we there were a number of folks that were there they're family members with folks that are in CR. They're people that have been supporters of CR that may not be able to be there on a weekly basis. However, and Henry, I'd love for you to speak towards this. We are all in recovery.
Amen.
We all have our own issues. We all have our own hurt, habit, or hang up. Speak about that for a moment.
Well, I feel like I say this scripture till I'm blue in the face, but it's Jeremiah 2:13.
Love it. You read it on Sunday.
Yeah.
So good.
That says, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they dug for themselves wells, but they're broken wells that don't hold water.
Right.
And all of us have forsaken God, first evil.
Yep.
And then the second evil is, because we've forsaken God, we're created for worship. We're going to worship somewhere. We've dug for ourselves wells, but they're broken wells that don't hold water. And all of us are there. Mm-hmm. Every one of us have dug a well that looked like it was going to satisfy, be it a style of relating, be it an addiction, be it whatever, something that has said, okay, if this is the way life is going to be, then this is the way that I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And so we develop a strategy for living that is of our own making, rather than surrendering to the strategy for living that God has designed.
One of the things that I just love about CR, and really just the idea of God bringing redemption to our stories, is that we don't have to concede that this is just the way that it's always going to be. It may have been the way that it was in the past. Mm-hmm. It may even be the way that it is today, but the God of creation can continue to work and to write your story into new chapters. And we'll talk more about that when we come back.
So as the conversation continues, here's the interesting thing. One day, we will have to maybe film the off-the-air conversations.
I would say they're potentially more enlightening. But that
that's
doesn't
one word
really
for
speak
it.
A lot about the actual conversations
that's
on
one,
air.
That would be one word for it.
I would like to ask this question, though, before we dig back into the idea of recovery. Henry, when you pulled up today... you pulled up next to a van that looked kind of like the A-Team. I don't know if you noticed that was Andrew actually in the vehicle.
Henry probably, huh?
I've seen it before.
Yeah, Henry probably thought
it. We've all gawked at it in the church parking lot.
Henry probably thought, hey, here's a disciple making moment. There's a van in a parking lot by itself. There's a guy sitting in it. He's like, that's Andrew.
Oh, it's Andrew.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely
what
not.
What would it take?
I added two stickers to it this weekend. What? I just want to point that
dare
out.
Dare I ask what the stickers are?
One of them is a bear with the Smoky Mountain outline in it.
Nice.
And then one of them, I took my son to a documentary, pre-screening of a film over the weekend. It's a local guy that's in it. Him and some other folks hiked a pretty amazing trail in Utah. And
okay.
So it was called the High Line. And so I got a sticker from there. And as soon as I walked out of the theater, put that bad boy on the back of the van.
How many stickers do we think we've got on the van now?
There would be double digits at
this point. At what point does visibility become an issue?
And that's why, if you'll notice, when you're behind
the
van,
they're on the
edges. Yeah. I'm working to do all the edges, and then I'm going to have to probably go on the side windows because I need to be able to see out the back glass.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's funny.
I was somewhere, and somebody was like, "Hey, I saw you, but you didn't wave at me." And I was like, "Here's the thing. I can't hide anywhere in Knoxville driving this. Like,
no. Everybody
knows.
No.
That's Andrew's van.
You know how like a church van has like the actual like kind of it speaks about, you
yeah,
know,
sure.
Bethlehem Baptist Church or whatever, maybe alongside of the
yeah.
You might want to do like Andrew, I mean, the Wood family van.
I've thought about it and I have a buddy that could do it. I think the Wood family church van is what I really want to put on the side of it.
Golly.
And
if
I do it, I'm probably going to have to do it and not even consult the family. I think
no,
I'm just going to have to.
I think you would just need that because your bride might not agree.
She probably wouldn't. The kids would love it.
They would love
they
it.
Would, but the wife,
wow.
The wife probably wouldn't love
so,
it.
Until they turn 13.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So for those that are just joining us again today, I don't know why you would just be joining us. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you tuned
yeah, you
in
know.
at 4:58 in order to
right.
join us live.
They probably rushed to their vehicle.
Or maybe
everything.
If you're listening via podcast a little bit later, I'm sure
you might be mowing your yard.
You've
right
been
now.
Connected to every moment of this.
That's
but
right.
We have a special guest today, Henry Bieber. I always mess up Henry's official title because it's been like three different things. It's always been the same stuff. But we've changed it two or three times. What is your actual official title at Shoreline these days?
I think it's partner care pastor.
Yes.
That's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah, so that includes care. It includes recovery. It includes just really loving on our body and helping them walk through really exciting moments, great moments, and caring for people. But also walking through not just like singular moments, you know, like, hey, there's a death or there's a diagnosis, but also some of these things that really are a commitment for a long amount of time. I'm not minimizing those other things. What I'm just simply saying is that when we think about recovery, this isn't an overnight process, right?
Right. It's not. No, we didn't get this way overnight. We're not going to get fixed overnight.
Yeah, that's a good mm-hmm. word. So if someone were sitting out, you know, listening to today's show and saying, you know, I'm really thinking about, you know, maybe something that's clearly plaguing me, you know, something that I may be responsible for, something I may not be responsible for. That's what I preached on Sunday is that, you know, that the wreckage or some of the carnage, isn't diminished by how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning if it happened, it happened, whether it was your fault or whether it was something that you had zero control over. There are certain things that are connected to just fallenness of humanity
right.
That have hurt us, have wounded us, marred us. And with that, I think we at times camp out a little bit on blaming people mm-hmm. and trying to point fingers at whose fault it is rather than just trying to move towards recovery. And as I said before the break, I think there are some amazing stories that are coming out of CR, and there's obviously amazing stories that are coming out of the larger church. And the great part of the story is that it's a story of redemption. You talk about that pretty often, mm-hmm. is that every great mm-hmm. story is a story of redemption.
Mm-hmm. God's an epic storyteller.
Yeah.
He really is. And all of us really, truly do have an epic journey that we are on. And God is, He's engaging in it, and he's getting us caught up into his story, into a bigger story. There's always a bigger story than just our little, you know, geographical spot.
Yeah, and Andrew, this is what you guys have to deal with. I mean, you know,
yeah.
and here in a minute, Henry, I want to ask you to kind of expound upon that. But But, you know, for the person who is thinking, this is just going to be my story for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be stuck to that bottle, or I'm going to deal with that thing the rest of my life. You know, this is something that you all have to begin to talk to young mothers about, yeah. is that your story, don't write your story for yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so about what God can do. I think so many of us have a tendency to, like you were saying earlier, make our identity that our issue. And so if it's an addiction, well, that's who we are. That's our identity. We're an addict.
Right.
And I can't get out of that. And that's what I loved about the stories last night was, yeah, you may always kind of be an addict or have that there, but that is not your identity.
And it's part of your story, but it's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that even with our patients, when they come to Hope, it's, look, that abusive relationship is not your identity. That absentee mom or dad is not your identity. That absentee boyfriend is not your identity. This baby isn't your identity. These things are happening and they're part of your story, but they are not the defining moment in your life. Even for many of our patients, even having that baby may be a one of those moments they always look back to. You know, you hear people say, that baby saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
When this mom made a choice and actually saved the life of the baby, it turns out even that choice kind of saved their life. Mm-hmm. We heard last night people say, CR helped save my life. These relationships help save my life. There were, I loved seeing last night when they were handing out the blue chips, and you can explain that, seeing people stand up for the first time, boldly stand up in front of strangers and say, absolutely, there's something I need to deal with. And that was really powerful.
Yeah, it's always an incredible, part of we do that every week.
Yeah, walk us through that. What's a chip ceremony?
It's called a chip ceremony, and we have we call them colorful clean time indicators. And they're just cheap pieces of plastic, but they're
really sentimental. Well, really,
yeah,
they
symbolize first of all, that blue chip symbolizes the first step of recovery, yep, saying I don't want to do this way anymore.
Right.
I want to do it differently. And so we always say it doesn't commit you to us. This commits us to you. We're going to be here every Tuesday night for you to be able to come and to enjoy fellowship, to hear scripture, to hear testimony of what scripture has done and what God has done through his Holy Spirit in a person's life. You're going to be connected to us at that point. And so, and then we, you know, do a 30-day chip, you know, all the way up into some, I've given out 32-year chips. Wow. Before. And the thing about a 32-year chip, for somebody to continue to invest in others that long and recognize, this is part of my story that God is using, even now. You know, yes, I haven't had a drink since, you know, for 35 years or so, but they're continuing the process of discipleship. Really, that's all this is. It's a mode of discipleship, a method of discipleship. You know, here's how we did it, basically. I love the fact that all the 12 steps are they start with we. We admitted.
Mm-hmm.
We came to believe. We did all these things. And so the chips are just an indicator, to get back to the point, but the chips are just an indicator of clean time.
Love that.
Of the time that you've been working in on this area of recovery in your life.
Well, again, watching that last night, seeing the folks that were handing out the chips, who were also members of CR, and seeing the real celebration.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't a fake celebration.
No,
that was real. It was authentic.
I mean, yeah.
And it's because, observing, it's because I assume they've been there.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
know the importance of that. And even, I think there was someone last night, I think, that got one year,
mm-hmm,
chip. And watching that, even the excitement to get out of the chair, but also the nervousness to get out of the chair, what mm-hmm that means. It was really powerful.
And Henry, what would you say to the person who is out there thinking, again, we'll in our final segment, we'll point you towards not just our CR, but there's a number of other Celebrate Recoveries in town.
Right.
But just the person who's just sitting there really wondering to themselves, can my story be rewritten? Or can a new chapter of my story be written? Can I actually find freedom from these things? And maybe the person who's tried a lot, you know, they've mm-hmm. tried on their own doing, they've tried past efforts. You know, what encouragement would you give, whether that's through scripture or whether that is simply through the testimonies of other people? What would you say to that person?
I'd say it happens in the context of relationship. Mm-hmm. That's where recovery truly happens. We were not meant to do this life alone. It's not, you know, basically starts at the very beginning in Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
And so, one of the things that Satan does is he gets us isolated, and he does that through shame and all these things. What makes recovery work is relationships.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would encourage anybody here, it's, you know, just take one step. You know, yeah. If you come to a group for a year and don't say anything, stay coming to the group, or keep coming back, as we like to say.
If God exists in community, God the Father, God the Son, mm-hmm. God the Spirit, then mm-hmm. we should probably also as well. Amen. We'll be back.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't
his... Let's sit in that for a second.
I really like that song.
At the ground?
Yeah.
We are the body.
Yeah, and we just lost.
That's good. That's good. There. Now, what we probably just had was people go, why isn't Andrew on the stage singing right alongside Chuck? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Has he asked?
No,
you?
And I'm not. No. I don't want to. I have no desire to do it. My singing is confined to the van when I'm driving.
Henry is known at Shoreline Church, at least among the staff, that he sings with every bit of his heart. And
well,
I
that's
love
awesome.
It.
That's
he gets
good.
Down there usually on the second row. Kind of second row.
Yeah.
If you're facing the stage, he's often down there on the right. So if you by chance come to Shoreline, you're looking for him. He often is a part of our, you know, invitation time as well.
Yeah.
Leads our care and recovery ministries, prayer and care also. And so, but he sings with
that's
vigor.
Awesome.
I love it.
You should. And
I love it.
Before
I come up, I scream this. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's sing.
If you hear somebody doing that and you get a little nervous,
it's
Jason.
It's the pastor.
Before we get into how we can get involved and where people can learn more, I think, you know, there was a basketball game last night we haven't even talked about, and we won.
There's a bigger news, though. There's bigger news.
What's the bigger news?
I don't
news?
Know. Did you watch any press conference or anything after the game?
Folky.
John Fulkerson is cutting his hair.
Yeah, he said the funny thing, Alabama was chanting cut your hair, and he said the funny thing is before the game I already scheduled an appointment.
Haircut. So he said he literally said he went over. This is great for those of you that don't know.
He is so great.
Tennessee,
he is such a good dude.
Basketball. I mean, this is the guy that loves Powell's Burgers.
He's from up in Johnson City.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just as country as the day is long. And he's got, you know, long hair.
Yeah.
And, he just looks like a disheveled hippie to right
Pistol
now.
Pistol Pete almost.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And so, as you said, the Alabama fans were just berating him last night.
He played a great
and
game.
And he played a great game. He said he literally went over to the fans after the game and just cordially, it sounds like, just informed them, hey, 3 or 4 days ago, I already scheduled for my hair to get cut tomorrow. I want you to know you're not responsible for this.
He has moments. He has such great moments in the press conference where last night he also said, Coach Barnes is pretty accurate with his adjustments.
Yeah, Barnes looked over and said,
halftime. He's like, yeah, what do you mean pretty? And then they were playing a tournament at the beach, and he was like, you know, I don't even get to see the beach. I want to see the beach a little bit. And Coach Barnes was like, you can see it from your window. And he's like, you can see it from your window? And Coach Barnes was like, well, yeah, I have a suite. They just have such great, they're such a likable team. And finally, we got a win.
And so good.
Grateful that we beat, anytime we can beat Alabama, that's a positive thing.
When you think of like Knoxville duos, you think of like Barnes and Fulkerson.
Yeah, for sure.
And then would we be like right in that
we're
group?
So, we have to be. I mean, I think when it's all said and done years from now, generations from now, this particular time, 2020 in Knoxville, they're going to go, we had the greats like Peanut Butter and Jelly with Grant and
Admiral.
We had Rick Barnes and Fulke. And then you'll just go right into it, Jason
into it.
And Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, and Henry today.
And Henry today.
Yeah.
It I think it will be good for sure.
So, you know, in order to make something redemptive today, no, we really do want to really encourage people to take that first step. And so, Henry, whether that's connected to CR or you know, kind of speaking with someone in their church, begin to point people towards taking that first step.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the scripture again that comes to mind is that Proverbs 28:13 that says, yeah, don't cover it anymore.
Yeah.
Just let it go. In the words of Elsa or whatever, whoever that girl is.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Y'all sing that every Tuesday night.
Every Tuesday night.
Kidding.
To have the courage to tell someone.
Yeah.
To say, this is my struggle. This is what's true about me.
Yeah.
It's kind of becoming the way that we were designed to be.
Yeah.
It truly is stepping into that design.
And so, if someone wanted to get connected to CR, how would that look?
Just come on a Tuesday night to our CR. We're at Shoreline Church. There's a CR or some type of Christ-centered recovery every single night of the week, except for Saturday and Sunday.
At different churches.
At different churches, yes.
And how would they find that out? They could, I'm assuming, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. And you can do a search of your geography.
Click on Find a Group.
Yeah.
What time do y'all meet on Tuesday nights?
Tuesdays at 6:15 for dinner, but 7 o'clock is our large group.
9635 Westland Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37922, Shoreline Church.
That's good, Jason.
Thank you.
Love to see you out there. We'll talk to you next week.